Okay, good morning, everyone. I'll tell Sam that you prayed for him this morning. It's particularly good because it's his birthday today. So I shall send him a text later. I also am using Sarah's phone, so you may or may not see pictures appearing on the screen. It just depends if I use it. But the best reason is actually to stop her posting on Facebook as I'm talking. So I do notice in South Sudan all these things coming up from St. Matt's, and I'm like, yeah, that's in the time of your service. Anyway, makes me smile. Chris, you're the best, so. As has been said, I've been a friend of St. Matt's for many years, and I guess when I started with Boulder Gang and joined in with you all, I never realised that this is where we'd kind of end up in our... I knew it wouldn't go well. We don't have these in South Sudan. My ears are clearly different. I never realised that we would one day end in this position for many reasons, but I am really grateful for St. Matt's. Really, really grateful for your support. You are definitely, you know, you have all of these linked churches and you're definitely somewhere way up here. So I'm just really grateful for that constant support and encouragement that comes from you. And now, my power's been taken away from me after that joke. Anyway, if we just go, yes, thank you. One person once asked me, although if you completely take it away from me, I have no time, so I'd just like you to know that fact, Sarah. One person once asked me what I share about South Sudan when I'm back in England, and I usually say complete opposite of what the media share, because you guys only ever hear from the media the doom and the gloom and the things that are going wrong, and there's so much more than that. There is so much potential that you don't hear from the media. But I guess it's fair to say that the last 2 years in particular have had many more challenges than I feel we've had in the time before that. I've been there now for 8 years and seen many things happening and changing. Obviously, when I last was here, we were in a peaceful country. When I went back, we were back in a country that was at war. My area still remained very calm the whole way through. We had our moments of various things, but nothing really related to the war. But the constant rumours that you're constantly hearing and trying to work out what this may or may not mean have continued, which have been there pretty much for most of the time that I've lived there, but possibly have been a bit more recently. And there have been incidences happening in places that are getting a little bit too close to comfort at times. But I was in touch with one of the pastors yesterday saying, I'm going to churches, you know, can you give me updates? And it sounds like, well, I'll mention it in a minute, that things are holding. We have had quite a serious fuel crisis over the last year. We have had weeks where we have had no diesel. Sometimes we have had no petrol, no electricity for, I think once we went for a two-week stretch with absolutely nothing. We have a generator, but it's dying. And is expensive to run, so we can maybe do it for some of the office hours, but we don't do it for outside office, and we just use the electricity we have for very simple things, really. ACROSS is the organisation I'm seconded to, so I'm a mission partner with CMS, but I'm seconded to work with a Christian NGO, and really for the whole time I've been there, I think we have been going through a very difficult season. But of course, that trickles down and just gives extra challenges to those of us trying to work. We have issues in our finances. We've had a high staff turnover, especially in the leadership side, which is also quite hard then to move forward. And sometimes has given a bit of a low staff morale just to keep going. And just to make you smile, if you want to know more about this, you can ask me later. But I did have an issue last year, or the year before now, with a dodgy latrine. But somehow I managed not to actually fall down. If you want to know more, I'll be at the back later. So if we look to the next slide, peace. Like I say, we had a peace agreement that has been signed, and it somehow seems that at the moment that is holding. Peace, I always remember being taught as a child, peace is a very fragile thing. It's very fragile in different ways, I guess. But at the moment, we pray something is holding. There has been an outbreak of violence in the next door state to me. I don't think it's related to the war. I think it's a different issue. And we hope that that certainly calms down. And over the Christmas period, you may have seen, if you look on the internet for news, you won't have got it off the mainstream TV, that the president apologised to the citizens for the suffering that they have endured, especially over the last 2 years. But in this, we have tried as much as we can to continue with our work. Another challenge, sorry, I should have said, is the economy. The economy has just gone crazy. So when I arrived 8 years ago, if you got 220 Sudanese pounds for $100, you were doing well. Now you change £2,400 for $100, which means that people on a normal government salary, nurses, teachers, cannot earn enough money to even buy the basic flour that is our basic staple diet for the month for their families. So you can see that that's an extra challenge for us. And then if you're struggling to also get donors to fund your work, which we have been doing, the challenges just grow and grow. But we have been continuing with a program. We had two programs in the Children's Ministry Department. One was called PFP, Partnerships for Peace. And you can see the logos down the bottom, a cross is in the middle, but all these other non-government organizations and community-based organizations also, we work together on the same program, which has just finished. We had an evaluation a few weeks ago. And if we zip on to the next one. So the project, it was a child participation program that we ran in communities. We did it in three communities. And we worked with the adults, we worked with the children. And we helped them to understand their rights, but heavily linked with their responsibilities. So if we have a right, we can't expect to have that right unless we know and understand our responsibility and are ready to exercise that as well. So we were encouraging children and training children to participate respectfully and within the culture as much as was possible in all levels of society. And that would include things like community dialogues that we had here. So the children would come, they would bring an issue, they would usually do a drama to raise the issue, and then they would lead a discussion with all different types of adults there. And the adults were very gracious and would often say, you know, what the children are saying is actually true. And there would be this whole discussion, and sometimes, you know, different decisions would be made at the end. Okay, well, let's try and do things a bit like this, and we'll see. So really, our role was just to facilitate that to happen. And it also meant, if we go to the next one, that we did a lot of child protection training, both to children and to adults. And South Sudan actually has a very comprehensive Child Act, but one of the issues is nobody knows the Act, because it's very hard to disseminate laws and anything really in South Sudan. So one of our roles also was working alongside the government to roll out the Child Act, so people actually know what the law of the land is. And we made, or War Child, the lead partner, made these posters that you see. We picked out five different areas and used them as well. And if we look at the next slide, we went to one of our communities with an evaluator. And I jotted down a few things, and of course I can't actually read that small screen, of what the community said, just to try and get an idea of, you know, has our work been helpful? Has it been useful to the community? How do we need to work in the future? But some of the things that the community said were, children were not listening to us before. But since a cross came, now they are listening to us because we are listening to them. I think many of these things we can also learn from in England. We now no longer allow early marriage in our community. The coming of a cross has helped the community. There is now less consumption of alcohol. And in a discussion about not using corporal punishment on children, one person said, honestly, there is a big change. Children can respect me and love me now. And before a cross came, we were blind as parents and didn't know the full value of our children. They should not be oppressed. Even in a gathering like this, children should be given opportunity to pray and to speak. So we pray that these and other things that we've not shared will be able to continue, even though the actual program has finished. Sarah, how am I doing on time, my dear? Just a little bit worried, because I know I can talk. Okay, that's good. Doing all right. It's all right. That's fine. So there were just a few comments from the community. One person actually said, since the cross came, I've learnt how to pray. And the evaluator, because the donors were a secular donor, which I don't have any issues with at all, but the evaluator did spin one quite fast and go, that was in the other program, right? I'm like, yeah, I'm sure that was the other program. But, I mean, the reality is we don't teach that kind of thing, but I think, you know, it's not really taught, is it, prayer? It's just kind of caught. So I think that was more that it was funny. So if we go to the next slide. So Partnerships for Peace, we've now finished that project. So all the funding has finished, the work, I hope, has finished. I know the final report will go in March, and I said to Sam, you are going to have to deal with any questions because I'm not here, and the accountant has also now changed. Are you happy? Yes, Sister Ruth, no problem. So I'm hoping that there won't be any questions coming back because I know that the lead partner will put the final report in March. So I'm a little bit, I hope it will all be okay. But I also had an opportunity, and I've done it twice now, both years that I've been back, into going to Emmanuel Christian College, which is a theological college, not far away from us. It takes about an hour to drive at the moment because the road is very bad. But I had the opportunity to go and train some teacher trainers. Is that right, teacher trainers? Student teachers. And they're at diploma level. So these guys will go in as head teachers into schools. And I had 2 weeks. I wrote the module myself. And we looked at child rights and responsibilities because we are concerned at how NGOs are bringing them in. We're only talking about the rights. And people don't know what the specific rights are. So then we kind of let the children do anything because we don't want to be accused of, you know, denying their rights. But we don't know what their rights are. And again, you might see some similarities in England. I'm not sure. So I wrote a module on rights and responsibilities, needs and wants, what's the difference between those, child participation, child protection. But we base, there's four categories of child rights, protection, survival, development and participation. But we also have written Bible studies as a foundation for each of those. So we look first, what does the Bible lead us to believe God's heart is in these areas? So we kind of base it quite biblically as well. But it's great fun, as you can see. From what we did, that we were doing a relay race here to learn about discipleship. As we did it, we did discipleship as a foundation to discipline as well. So I did that twice. And from what I've heard, I think in East Africa, these will be the only teachers that get this to such depth, which is amazing. And they're also looking at starting a degree program from this year. So it might be that we can also write some more materials and go back into the degree thing, and I find myself in a strange position of being able to teach up to degree level now since I finished my MA. But if we whip to the next, the MA I was never going to do, you understand. This is just the picture of the blackboard. Although I've been involved in child protection for many, many years in different ways, I've never led a session like this. But it was growing in my heart very much that in England we have fire drills in school. In America, I'm told that they have people entering your school with a gun drills. You know, what do you do if that happens? And the insecurity was getting nearer and nearer to yay, and I'm like, we've got to start talking to our children about this. What do we do if insecurity breaks out? I have got absolutely no authority whatsoever to speak in this area, so I led it as a discussion with the students who came from all over South Sudan and included Nuba Mountains in North Sudan, which has been going through a really, really terrible war since the two countries separated. And it was one of the most humbling experiences I've had as I was hearing the stories of the students and of what they did. And, you know, well, let's teach the children to do this. But then someone else, yes, but if we teach them to do this and it's all about that, then this might happen. But it was just to start the whole discussion of we need to prepare our children so that they're not like rabbits in headlights, but they might know places they can run and hide, or they know people they can go to, or they know, you know, how we can find ourselves as a family afterwards. If people have to run to the bush, that's when very small children are often separated. So things like if we know insecurity is near, let's find something to put a bracelet on our small children with the basic details of who they belong to. But it was a very sobering, a very difficult session to run, but I think one that was very important. And if we look at the next slide, we see just the graduation. We do graduation in a very big way in Africa. The tinsel is not for Christmas trees, it is for graduation. So I was very disappointed at mine earlier in the year when I was not dressed like a Christmas tree. But you see in this picture, there's six nationalities of tutors. That doesn't include the Canadian tutor who comes over, and it doesn't include the many Tanzanian tutors who come over. So there's at least eight nationalities involved in training the teachers. And Daniel, the guy on this side, is the one who leads. And if you read my link letters, I wrote about him in a probably my last link letter. I've not been very good at writing those this year. But you can read his story in the last link letter there. And then if we zoom... Sarah. Sorry. Okay, that's good. If we just zoom very quickly... we only had donors this year for the Partnerships for Peace project, which meant we only had a small amount of money to do anything different, so we couldn't go into the communities. So what we did do was offer the orphanages around us some training. We don't really like orphanages. We don't really agree with what they are, and we could see that actually, if we could change our way of thinking, we could do things in a much better way. But like it or lump it, there are some great people working in them, and we saw avenue to be able to work together. So we came together and we did some great training and had a lot of fun with the people working in the orphanages, and just hope that maybe they're able to put into practice some of what we're doing. And I hope Sam will also continue some more work this year. And if we look to the next one, with no donors, we were only able to do work within Yay Town. We couldn't go out to the communities and do what we'd wanted to do there. And in a minute, I'm going to show you a short DVD. So you don't hear me, but you hear Sam and Rabina and a few of the friends talking about what we hope to do. What you'll hear them talking about what we hope to do is what we've started in the town. So we're actually now training what we call trainer of trainers. So we train a group of people who then have to go and train others. Because for us, we see that as a much more sustainable way of doing things. And here I was really blessed because Rabina was leading the training. But we were doing it on nutrition because we know that there's a higher number of children being admitted to hospital with malnutrition than there has been in the past. But it wasn't something Rabina had done before, and I was tied up with management things, so we were blessed that our Methodist, American Methodist colleagues who were doctors were able to come and do some training on nutrition. And if we look at the next slide, we also then made a keyhole garden. If you want to know more, either ask me or look up Send a Cow, because Send a Cow are the ones who are getting these around the world. And this is Sam and Rabina at the bottom. I turned up just to encourage them, and there's Sam and Rabina, you know, completely muddy, digging away. Right in the middle of everything. Are my ears just weird? Maybe. So I want to just show you a quick DVD. We did it as a fundraiser just over a year ago. But I want to show it to you in the context of actually you are working with us. You know, this was something that we put out on social media to people who didn't know anything about what we were doing and trying to encourage more support. But I'm showing it to you in the context of hearing Sam and Rabina talking about what we're doing and what we hope to do. We still hope that we will find donors. Unfortunately, we have had to let Rabina go. And Moses, who was a member of the community we've been training up, we were not able to keep him on. So Sam is literally on his own in the office at the moment. I'm really only waving my head. I'm not doing any more than that, Chris. Brittany never has this problem, does she? Right? I'm just going to stand like this. Is that all right? So it's in that context of I'm trying that. All right, thanks. I'll not move. I'll hold on and then I'll be fine. If I was dancing, I'm not going to try. So, yeah, just so you can hear Sam and Rabina talking about what we want to do, we're still hoping. We were turned down by some donors at the end of the year who said, we love what you're doing, but there's just too many people asking for money. Try again in June. I have no idea if in June they will give us money or not. So Rabina will come and work with Sam when he does actual training. So we're still training her up. We've put into the budget with the money that we do have. Just some casual wages. But what you'll hear us talking about is what we've started in the town and what we dream about for the communities. But hear it in the context of thank you so much for your support. Because I know you guys do an awful lot in different ways of supporting us, which we really, really appreciate. But if we just watch it, it's only 3 minutes long. Hopefully it will work. And you'll just hear from Sam and Rabina a bit more.
Rab Yeshua, kelba kai maksur, ana bikor later, ana guana.
South Sudan, the newest nation in the world. Yes, we are facing many challenges, but you don't hear the other side on the media. Let us tell you more.
Ojal Mswan, Yal Yanin the Kibra. So many people want to work hard for their nation.
Raja Ziyada. Children growing, a new generation. so much potential.
We have the privilege of working together and for our people. As a team, we have over 3 years' experience together. We have laughed, we have cried, most of all, we have learned. We want to cover a whole range of holistic, complete needs. Children have to grow to their full potential. Training people to train others means our work becomes more sustainable. Strengthening parents means strengthening children. Therefore, creating the brighter future we hope for. Yes.
As we have trained in communities, we have listened. People want knowledge. They want to know things to improve their lives and the lives of their children. We now want to train 30 people from 10 communities by bringing them together twice a year and training them in a way they can return to their communities and train others, especially parents and caregivers.
In addition to the community trainings, we want to do the same trainings in churches in Yei Town, again training people to train others.
Yeah, we have the hope that we are going to see a new generation making different headlines to what you hear and see now, to make a bright future, a generation to glorify Jesus and respect Him. We still have hope, so much hope for a nation, but we need to work for our children now.
Can you help us?
The music is actually written by a friend of mine who has a gospel band that I'm also on the board of, and they do amazing work around our area, really. You are amazing, and we really thank you for that. You may also know that I've written a couple of books, and one is a Lent book, and I do believe it's almost Lent. Quite a handy time to be trying to sell a few more. So if you know, maybe you didn't get one last year and you thought, oh, maybe I should have done, or you know, there's someone you want to give one to, I have just a few with me today, so feel free again to grab me at the end if you would like to buy one, but there's no pressure whatsoever. But you know, my coming really is really to say thank you, because it is a teamwork. It is, I couldn't do it on my own without you guys. Well, we couldn't do it without you guys. I couldn't do it without Sam and Rabina and other friends in South Sudan. So thank you for all your support. And thank you for being great.